strings have a lot to do with your tone. The NYXLs for me have always tonally been great.
I really need that friction to feel my slides. I depend on that friction even for accuracy.
Hey everybody, this week's Rig Rundown is with Sean Lopez of Crosses. If you're not familiar with Sean, he got started in his career in the band Far, who was arguably one of the most influential post-hardcore bands of the late 90s. I didn't realize it myself until later in life how influential they were on the bands that I was listening to. Since his time in Far, you know, he's worked a ton as a producer and an engineer, and we're talking big names like Chon and Rob Zombie and Tycho and Lupe Fiasco and the Deftones. He's kind of done it all. And I feel like his experience as a producer has really informed his playing. Crosses is a two-piece band. It's just Sean and Chino Marino from the Deftones. And so Sean is doing a lot of heavy lifting. He's making all of the sounds outside of the vocal tracks for this band. So it's awesome to see how he's getting that done and what gear he is choosing, coming from the perspective as a producer now and a guitar player. So I hope you enjoy. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee at Marathon Music Works tonight for a very special Rig Rundown with my friend Sean Lopez here in Crosses.
Yep.
You might, like me, know him from Far. Beyond that, you're kind of like one of the busiest men in show business. Dude, you're mixing, you're producing, making Crosses records. You got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see, you know, how your musical sound has just evolved and changed and grown and this beautiful... You're now making what I would definitely consider the world's sexiest music.
Awesome, man.
It's just great, man. I'm such a fan. With that said, some of the guitar sounds are a little unconventional, and you're also, you know, doing a lot of work with synth and also steel.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it. I know on the newer record, you know, I read an interview in Music Radar that you're not playing as much guitar. Mm-hmm. But you've got quite a few guitars out, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think when Crosses started, I was just learning how to play piano. I was, you know, naturally a guitar player. And so I think I wanted to make synthy sounding songs, but I didn't know how to play synths. So I was like, well, how can I get my guitar to sound like a synth?
Sure.
So I just, you know, pedals and everything and tons of stuff and, you know, lap steel and everything. And then... I think, you know, that was 10 years ago.
Right.
And then I think naturally within that 10 years, I just learned really how to play synth. And I think it just started influencing me more, or not influencing me, but more inspiring me
sure.
to play synth. And I was like, oh, now I can play like, you know, and I learned major seventh chords and things like that. And
it's kind of the limit with synth world.
Yeah. And then, but then I don't know, it always comes back to guitar. Like, I mean, definitely live. It's more fun to play guitar because I can, you know, run around a little bit more. When I'm playing synth, I'm stuck here.
Right.
But yeah, like I think I'm always chasing sound. You know, my sound is growing just because I feel like I'm always learning. Like I still want to learn more. You know,
and I
think that's, I don't know, one of those things where like, you know, if you stop learning, then I think you stop. Progressing
totally
know?
Yeah
so
did you take, you know, traditional piano lessons, or was it something where you had keys at home and just really started getting into it?
Yeah, I mean, really just sitting down at the piano, sometimes learning other songs, like other people's songs, and you know, YouTube of course is great for that.
YouTube is awesome.
But everything, like, and then, you know, once in a while, like, I would start to learn stuff by ear on piano, which I used to do, you know,
guitar.
When I was younger, as a kid on guitar, but piano's it's a lot harder, I think, to learn by ear, unless that's what you play. You
right,
know? But
right.
But that's still, I'm still learning on piano, you know, really. Yeah. So it, you know, it is what it is, you know.
I also feel like, you know, once a guitarist or any instrumentalist really starts to pay attention to piano and learn it, theory becomes so much easier to understand.
Yeah, I mean, this might make me sound kind of dumb, but, you know, I think it's important to say that, you know, when I was playing guitar in Far, I didn't know what a minor chord or a major chord was because I played power chords.
Just knew it sounded cool.
And, you know, I grew up on, like, you know, Helmet and Smashing Pumpkins and stuff like that, where major minor chords really weren't that important. So, like, you know, I remember later on when I started doing, like, co-writing, like, song sessions, and then, you know, people were like, oh, that's a minor and that's a sus, and I'd be like, in the room going like, oh, I have no idea what these people are talking about. But that's, I don't care, yeah. You know, because, like, I think sometimes knowing too much
can hinder, you know,
because sometimes somebody that knows too much would be like, well, you can't do that
yeah.
because it's not right. And it's like, well, dude, you know, it sounds good. You know, I mean, even going, touching on Chino, like, the dude never sings in the scale, like the key of the song. He always borrows a note here and there, which is, I think, that's why people say his melodies are weird, you know, and they're you know, out there in a good way.
I think it's, you know, beautiful, so, how he kind of drifts in and out.
Yeah, because, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he'd probably get mad at me for saying that, but he doesn't, you know, in a beautiful way, he's very innocent to that, and he just goes with what he hears, you know?
Yeah, and it works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all, that's the beauty of music. It's so, so objective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I like, most people would probably consider terrible, and vice versa. You know what I mean? I think that's
It's all
one opinion. Of the things that brings us to where we are standing right now talking about it. I think that's so cool. Well, I guess let's start with this guitar, because you're on this quite a bit, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is like my drop C guitar. It has 11 to 70 strings on it. You know, it's a 20th anniversary 1974 Les Paul custom. I love this guitar.
Yeah.
I think it's the best looking guitar I've ever seen in my life, you know. And
I love the black pickguard on the black.
Yeah, it's just stuff. I don't know, I love this guitar. It's a little heavy, so it's not really good for my neck, but it really holds the low tunings really well. I mean, I think people are so used to, you know, Gibson's not staying in tune very well, especially the G string. This guitar stays in tune really well, and you know, I just love it, and it's been one of those things where, like, I want to play it more, but, you know, we only have so certain amount of songs in this tuning, so, you know, it's a good one.
Yeah, so I think in talking to Mark, your tech earlier, he mentioned that you had like 6 guitars out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that like a backup for 3 separate tunings, or do you have a lot of different tunings going on?
Basically, I'm in standard, drop D, drop C, and drop C sharp, and so sometimes he's got his work cut out for him, so he's got a couple guitars that are always sort of being the backup for the backup, but the backup that he's the guitar that he's making the backup is actually a main guitar.
It's gonna play later,
you know, because I just didn't want to bring like 12 guitars out. I mean, to me, it's just like, you know, I have 6 guitars out, and it's like that's enough, you know, for me.
So, to my ear, I mean, it's sometimes hard for me to distinguish what sounds are actually synth and what is actually guitar on your records.
I love that, though, you know.
Yeah, what's cool about it. I think that's the neatest thing. So when you're writing for Crosses, is guitar kind of like, you know, the icing on the cake, or like a little added? Are you ever writing a song on guitar and then informing the rest of the song, or is it mostly like you're filling in where it
on the new album? I would say the guitar is more filling in stuff.
Right.
Just again, going back to, again, like I was way more inspired by synth stuff, but also just chopping up samples and doing stuff like that, where it's like, and there's some moments where I'm actually, what you might think is a guitar in the album is actually a guitar that is sampled. Sometimes I would sample my own guitar, put it on the keys, and play it on the keys. So,
so cool.
Because to me, that's just more, I don't know, to me, that's just more fun. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, it inspires me more.
Man, and it gives you a whole new language to speak in almost, you know?
Yeah, like,
that's fun.
Yeah, because you can just play with it more.
Right. Oh, man. So I'm guessing on other tunings, you're not going with such manly strings there.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're I think the other guitars are like just, you know, basic 10s,
right, okay.
You know?
Are you using one, you know, specific brand for all the guitars? Keep things easy?
Yeah, Dunlop. Yeah,
right on. Cool.
Definitely.
All right, man. Well, this is Awesome. Have you made any modifications to it, or are there pickups?
These are, a friend of mine had recommended bare knuckle pickups, and when I went on the website and I checked them out, there was a brand called War Pigs.
Bare knuckles.
And it just, I don't know, the name sounded cool, you know, Sabbath thing, and so I was just like, yeah, let's get those, and I dropped them in, and I haven't really turned back since then, you know?
Man, they make some really, really fun stuff.
Yeah.
You do an FM9 and a couple of pedals, but is using an Axe-FX as opposed to a real amp, is that informing your decision on what guitars to bring?
Not too much. I mean, I a lot of this, like going out and taking the FM9, I was having to recreate sounds that are on the album,
right?
Which I don't even, at the time, like a lot of the stuff, when I lay down a guitar, I don't remember what I'm using. I don't write it down. I just lay it down, because sometimes I will build a track and sometimes it'll be, you know, I will hope that Chino is inspired by it to sing something over the top, but sometimes he doesn't. So I don't really overthink anything too much. I just lay it down. I lay down the idea and then I move on.
So once it's on the record,
yeah,
that's kind of set in stone.
Yeah.
And then you're probably having to go back and figure out what you were playing.
Yeah. Oh, 100%, man. You know,
that's always a fun time. Yeah. Well, hell yeah. All right. I guess let's take a look at another guitar.
Yeah.
All right. So this SG is so sick.
P90s. Yeah. It's really cool. It's actually not mine. It's Chino's, but it's mine now. I don't think I'm going to give it back
to him.
Can't
have it back, Chino. Sorry, bud.
I was looking for a guitar basically for, you know, the standard E stuff and a drop D. And I remember he had just got this one and he left it at my house and I just picked it up. And I tend to not like SGs that much because of this.
The dive.
But somehow this one, with the wireless back on, is not as bad. And I always think like SGs are really cool looking, and there's something about the P90s in this that just, it has a cool sound. So I tried it and I was like, man, this is really cool. I think that's gonna be one of my like standard.
You having to compensate within the FM9 for the different output levels? Because like the bare knuckles are pretty hot, some P90s are super hot, some aren't. So like, are there guitars where you're having to use like a boost or anything?
Sometimes, but not really. I mean, because usually each patch that I made is
the guitar.
Kind of, I'll be like, all right, this is the guitar I'm going to use. Let's build that around that.
Plus, your front of house knows what's going on. They can always,
of course.
Yeah, totally.
And sometimes they will say, hey, that patch is a little hot or it's a little abrasive on the upper mids. Can we dive? So I'll just dive into Fractal and, you know, either do the multi-band EQ or something like
sort of
like scoop certain frequencies
out. On the FM9 also, man, that the color screen that's big, it's like a lot more user-friendly than the first couple of versions of the Fractal.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, those things are great, man. Well, that's a beautiful SG, and you've got a couple other guitars out with you as well.
Yes.
So we've covered your Gibson world, and now we're kind of into the Gretsch land here. Tell me about this one.
This is a 1964 Gretsch Corvette. I think back in the day, it was probably their attempt to make some kind of SG kind of thing.
Yeah.
I got this at Guitar Center in LA. Which is funny, as I was actually going in there to pick up a Fender 78 bass that I had bought. But you know how Guitar Center has those police holds that they have to do for a month? I was there to pick it up, and I was like in line, and I turned around, and I saw this thing just sitting there, and it was, you know, it said 1964 Gretsch, and it was like, it was really, it wasn't that much money. I think it's just like not a very in-demand guitar. And
yet.
Yeah. And so I was like, my guy Ryan there, I was like, hey, what's up with this? He's like, oh, dude, that's been sitting here for like 3 months. I get you a sweet deal on that one. So I took that, the bass and this, and I know the Les Paul is like probably my favorite guitar. If anything were to happen to it, I'd be crushed. But this is probably my favorite guitar to play in the studio on stage. I mean, it's light, it's very small. I actually broke the headstock off once. I was upset about that, but that's a whole nother story. But it's just, I don't know, there's something about these pickups that I really love.
That's probably an original, right?
Yeah, they're it's kind of in between a humbucker and like a single coil, like Telecaster. So it's got that bite, but it's got that, you know, that bottom end too that you get from a humbucker. And I love this guitar. It's a standard guitar, but within Fractal, I use pitch blocks almost on every preset, like pretty much. And so a lot of times this guitar's this goes back and forth between E and drop D, but on some songs, I'm hitting pitch blocks where I'm going minus 17.
Wow. But keeping the tension, that's great. I mean, it's not like throwing your guitar all over the place.
I mean, the thing is with the pitch blocks in fractal, there's a little bit of latency, but I can't really hear it, you know? And so it makes it really easy. Otherwise, I'd have, 13 guitars on stage, you know? So I really like this thing, man.
Did this one get chewed up from you, or is this somebody's
This is actually from this tour.
Oh, wow.
Because at home, sure. I'm just,
Right.
But live, I'm like, like putting on a show, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
And man, obviously this is no longer operational. You probably just blocked that off.
But
what a weird design. It's so cool.
I love this guitar, man. It's just amazing.
Yeah. What you mentioned that it's your favorite one to play. Is it just because of the playability?
It almost feels like a three-quarter scale guitar, but it's not. It's just like something about scale. It. But this pickup is great.
Didn't the Corvettes originally have kind of a honking ass pickguard?
This pickguard used to go all the way up into here, but it was rotting out.
Oh, the Bakelite or whatever it was.
Yeah, this guy that does my work in LA, I took it into him to when I broke the headstock, and he's like, hey, do you mind if I cut the pickguard off here? He said, because that stuff's rotting and it's eventually going to get into your pickup. Totally. I mean, you can kind of see it's got some little green little...
Definitely some patina on that bad boy.
I love this guitar. In the studio, it sounds amazing. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it's 1964. I mean, they don't make them like that,
man. That wood is so old.
Yeah.
So, as a bit of a departure, you also have what looks to be like a newer Gretsch big body here.
Yeah, I got that recently. They hooked me up with that, and
it's beautiful.
I've always been sort of intrigued by hollow bodies, just the Gretsch hollow bodies, like I'm almost like, because Martin Gore, Depeche Mode,
sure.
And but I first got a hollow body, like a style like that was a Schecter, and they hooked me up with that, and I used that in studio, and that guitar is on the album more than probably any other guitar.
Really?
But then when I got this for live, these pickups are a little bit hotter than my Schecter ones. And so I think for the stage, this one was
better. Yeah.
Yeah. I still have the other one here as a backup, but that thing's
amazing. Do you have issues with it feeding back, being a hollow body?
No.
Really?
I mean, because, man, this
I guess
thing,
it's all direct and stuff.
Thing is, like, so crazy. Like, you can dial in the gates and everything. I love the fractal stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so much better than anything else. I mean, I know people have arguments about Neural and, the Helix and all that. But, I mean, for me, anyway, that just... Because I use so much effects in the pitch block, especially. Like I said, it's like almost every preset has it in there. Even if it's just minus 12 at 10%, because it just adds that little bit. So I
That's
love
interesting.
It. I really love it.
So before we move on to your last two guitars in the Schecter family, can we show the audience how you're using the pitch blocks? And
yeah, so for instance, the song "Invisible Hand," which has this very big hits in it. I was like when we first started this, I was like, oh well, because I have a Fender 6 and I was like, oh, maybe I'll bring that, but that thing is so big it's just not comfortable to play.
You
so I was
like a bass 6 like a
yeah yeah it's yeah, like okay, a bass 6 yeah. So I was like, man, let me just see how these pitch blocks are. And so I just kind of created this like, take me to Ghost Ride, which
I gotta say, the juxtaposition of that guitar and that tone are pretty freaking funny. Like, it's awesome. I love that.
So like, Ghost Ride's this is the one I was talking about where it goes down at minus 17. So it's a... it's just, I mean, that's just ridiculous low, And then it's funny because then when you play it, it's just like, yeah, it's not low at all, you know?
Man, so, it sounds phenomenal, though. Yeah. That's such a cool pad.
Yeah, it's great.
I love that you have it just set up as like main and then lower.
Yeah, yeah, main, great. Lower.
Cool. Let's take a couple look at your last couple of guitars, and then I really want to dive into not only the Fractal, but how you're using synths and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, of course.
And so we now have the Schecter PT, which is very cool guitar.
When I hit them up, I was saying, do you have, because the hollow body one they make, it's called the Coupe, they don't make it anymore. I was lucky to get two of them. But I was like, man, I need another guitar. But I love those pickups, man. I just love, like, these pickups. And he's like, well, we do have this PT, and it has them. It's kind of like a Telecaster style. I was like, well, I'll try it out. And then this ended up being my, like, drop C sharp guitar. Same pickups. Yeah. I mean, or they're not exactly the same. I think they're just similar.
Same style, yeah.
But, and I like it, especially with the, it's got the maple fretboard, which is, like, a little bit brighter.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's cool.
I love the big ass fat binding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so cool.
Yeah.
That's a slick looking guitar for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they're always good to me there. So,
yeah. Everybody over there is just so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love those guys. And then also the neck to me almost looks like it's got a matte kind of thing. It's like,
yeah, a little bit. It's like, it's easy, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because this comes out like usually later in the set. And by then I'm already like sweating pretty much, you know? So, yeah.
Hell yeah, man. That thing is beautiful. Yeah. I always love the deluxe style.
Yeah,
looking guitars, because it's like a kind of the best of both worlds. You're getting the LP kind of setup, you know.
Yep.
Right on. Okay, let's take a look at the last one, and then we'll probably have you throw your Les Paul back on to go through some of these sounds.
So yeah, this is actually
is the one.
Yeah, this is not the one. The one that I have is at home. We call that one Phil. This is Phil Schecter, you know. And this one is kind of serving as a backup. It never comes out, but the one I have at home was the one I used all over the album. Like, it's crazy, like, how much that guitar's on the album, even on the earlier stuff, the EPs and stuff. So this is where I fell in love with these hollow bodies and these kind of pickups, you know.
It's such an interesting take. Like, I love the F-holes.
Yeah.
It's so fancy looking, especially for, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I kept trying to want to get a black one from them because they made it in black too, but by then they stopped making them. And every now and then I'd hit them up and be like, hey, did you get any of those black ones in? You know, because like, I always prefer a black guitar, you know.
Are you using the Bigsby much at all?
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Really?
Yeah, tons during the show, for sure.
Hell yeah. I love the big ass volute on them too.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm sure that has to help with stability.
Oh, yeah. They stay in tune really well. Yeah. I mean, they're great, you know. You can't hit them too hard because of the bridge. It pops out, but it's good.
Yeah, that thing's a beaut. All right, well, let's throw back that Les Paul back on, and then we'll kind of go through, because I know you like to incorporate, you know, not only synth sounds, but also pedals and stuff as well.
Hey y'all, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So our rig rundowns for a long time now have been sponsored by D'Addario. And I'm thrilled to be using the D'Addario Expand pedal board. I've got this little guy that fits in my gig bag, and like many of you, I'm changing pedals all the time. I love having a board that can shrink as I'm shrinking my board or expand as I'm expanding it. And that's why I love the Expand pedal board. Their patented telescoping technology lets me instantly change the size of my pedals playground. It also features a unique cable management system and comes fitted with loops of Velcro, keeping everything neat and easy to swap. The two Expand versions comes with either one or two rows, depending on your needs. So a big thanks to D'Addario. Now, let's get back to more rig rundowns.
I know you were like, you know, especially when Crosses started, before you were really, really deep into the piano, you're into these synth sounds. Do you ever fuck around with one of those like Roland synth pickups?
Yeah, I actually had a GR 700, the old ones with the Star Trek looking guitars.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And those were a little, the latency was crazy.
It's so
on those.
Bad.
Yeah, I mean, they looked really cool.
It's almost not usable.
But I mean, I will buy any synth pedal or anything and just try it. But a lot of them, they just really haven't made something that I really like that's usable yet for me anyway. I love trying to get the guitar to not sound like a guitar, you know.
Yeah,
like
that's so within the FM9, are you building the set list by like song by song?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how you're definitely going about it.
Yeah.
Well, beyond that, I see a couple, you know, I know that you're using the Chase Bliss Mood, which is such a sick pedal.
Like, yeah.
Man, those guys make, everything they make is incredible.
I instant buy.
Yeah, totally. So tell me how you came to the pedals that are on your board, because I know in the studio you're probably experimenting with
everything. I mean, I have a ton of pedals at home. You know, this, you know, Electro-Harmonics, you know, synthesizer pedal is, it's been, it was, I bought it on this, like, weird guy on Craigslist, you know.
Like a McDonald's parking lot situation?
Yeah, it was weird. I went to his house, and he was just kind of weird. But he had this guitar, he had this pedal, and he had told me, it's been modified, man, and I don't really know what was up with it, but it's been modded. And, I mean, I even opened it up once, and it looked like somebody did some stuff in there.
A home job on it?
Yeah. And because I've tried, I mean, just for the sake of real estate, I've tried.
Because there's I bought
a smaller version of it, and it
just doesn't do the
didn't do what this does. So I actually met this guy the other day that makes, you know, pedals, and he'll modify, but he'll make clones of certain things, sure, even weird stuff. And he's like, man, if you could, once you're done with this tour, if you could send me that pedal, I'll figure out what it is.
Because
I want something that's just in a little tiny box.
Right.
Because that's a lot of real estate for me. That's a set it and forget it. I don't touch those settings on it, so it's just ready to go. But it is a weird pedal, and it reacts different.
Right.
It's almost like to get it to react the way I want it to react, I have to hit the strings hard, but also mute them at the same time. I don't know how I learned to do it, but it's literally.
Is there a way to hear just?
Yeah, it's like. So if you just hit it, it's just. You know, it's like. Like, I'm almost muting at the same time.
It's almost like you have to mute it to restart the frequency.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And you know, I wish Fractal made a clone of that in you know, a block of that, but they don't, you know.
Right.
I used to 10 years ago when we went out last on tour, I was using Guitar Rig Native.
Oh, yeah.
Instruments.
Okay.
And they have that in there. They have that
weird.
They have that pedal in there, and it's actually
pretty
good. So I could, you know, but now, I mean, Guitar Rig's, you know, that was a while ago.
Yeah. Well, maybe the guy, when you send it to him, he can not only make it a little bit smaller, but like add some MIDI capability and shit, so you can.
Yeah,
really,
I mean,
that
would be great.
Yeah,
because I mean,
they are fun, but man, that's a big ass pedal.
I know, it's huge, man.
Yeah, and you could probably fit three where that one.
Oh, I know,
is,
I know.
You know.
Yeah.
And then is this just some sort of buffer or an AB switch?
That's
of some
an
sort?
AB switch.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Cool. And then FM9 over here, FM9 back here as well.
Yeah.
Is this a backup or is it? It's
a backup, but it's also that's where my lap seal is running into that.
Oh, so that's dedicated.
Because my lap seal is not coming out of the cans, because that thing is very loud and very aggressive. And I think when we were in rehearsals, Chino was just couldn't hear himself because
they're
hard to control.
Yeah.
So we ended up being like, well, we could use the backup and then run that direct, so it's just going into a cab simulator to house, and then
so
they
he's
can
not
control
getting
it.
Killed, you know? On stage.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Now, just curious with this lap steel, are you running like a standard, like an E9 or whatever, C9, I think is what?
No, it's actually, you know, when I got that thing probably, man, I don't know, it was, you know, 2010, maybe. But I was really inspired by, what made me want to get one was like Daniel Lanois. Like,
shit,
you see him.
Yeah.
Like, and so I got one, and then I realized pretty quickly that I'm not Daniel Lanois on that thing.
I bought one
which is fine. So I said, you know, I'm going to figure out what I can do to make something cool. And so, like, it's all just tuned to one string, at one note, the whole thing, low and high. And,
so
and I feel like, and I feel like by doing that, I kind of created, I mean, I hate to say it, but I kind of, I feel
sound.
Like I created my own thing,
yeah.
You know, because I've never seen anyone else do that, you know, like
sure.
Maybe they have, I don't know, but
You know, yeah, maybe I need to examine
somebody in the comments is going to call me out, but you know,
so and so, man, he did that way long ago,
you know. But
anyway. Well, that's a fun little taste, just because obviously with a bar, you're getting bends and shit you would never get with a guitar.
I love playing that thing.
Also, see an Ebow over here, which I'm a huge fan of. Yeah. I think they just sound so fucking cool, and obviously, I feel like it really fits crosses.
Yeah, you know.
I'm sure you're using that quite a bit.
So this on one song, we actually tune this down to A. The top string, and that's, you know, another reason why the low string. So, and it's really, I just play two notes on the whole song on the guitar. It's mostly on the synth, but it's just, you know, it's a big aggressive. And there's a, you know, there's a pitch block in there too that's going down an octave down.
It's kind of blowing
me
away.
But it's only like, you know, probably 20% or something.
It's wild how accurately it does like an eight string, you know, like a very, very, like.
Yeah.
That's wild. Are you ever in a situation where you're on the FM or on the guitar and also playing synth? Like,
never at the same time. I'm not that good.
Well, I guess let's hit a couple of your FM9 core sounds.
So this is like another one. It's just a lot of these sounds will just be very like shoegazy, dreamy, like tons of high octaves, delays. You know. So that's another one where I'm using the Bigsby a lot on that one.
Just to modulate. Yeah, man. It's such a like a church organy.
Like I said, I definitely flex this CPU in here, you know.
Sure.
take me to Protection real quick, actually. So this is another one where it's pitched down. I don't know how much it's pitched down. I mean, maybe it's just an octave. But it's just... Oh, back.
Wow.
You know, so it's like another, I don't know, it's another...
So on the record, are you actually playing bass? Because it sounds like you could probably approximate it or get away with just using pitch blocks and a guitar.
Yeah, there's bass, but for this, like, I thought about bringing a bass out, but I was just like, I don't know, that's just too much, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Take me to Pleasure. So here's one where like I actually go to the expression pedal. Oh, cool. You know, it's just like. Yeah, so it's just
so fun. It's almost like the wah pedal from hell.
Yeah, because it's got like there's like a synth engine on there.
Right.
And yeah.
So fun.
Pitch down.
Man, you're getting so many sounds out of a pretty compact, concise
situation. I love this thing.
Yeah. So we got an old Fender here, and I'd love to know how you're incorporating this. I know that all the strings are tuned to the same note, but you've got so much processing power. There's so much shit you can do.
Yeah.
Can we hear it?
Yeah, of course.
That's pretty interesting, man.
Yeah.
Like, it almost has, like, a natural chorusing kind of thing, almost like a 12-string, but...
Yeah.
It's so... You know,
the strings kind of go
as well. Yeah.
A little bit out of tune with each other, so, you know, makes it cool.
And then, as far as synthesizers, you're kind of going between the Prophet 6, and then, what is this guy over here?
That's the Novation, but that Novation's just running all the... I have a computer offstage that's all soft synth stuff.
Gotcha.
So like, you know, samples are in there, like everything. But yeah, that's just running all offstage stuff, which is cool.
So are you like just clicking through sounds and like, that's cool, that's cool. Or like, I don't like that. Is that how that happens? Or is it just, because it's mostly, you just got to sit and listen. And
yeah, I mean, I usually, like with soft synths, I like to start with a preset, but I don't like ever, you know, I like to tweak it.
You sure,
know,
of course. You don't want to use something that's closed, right out of the box, you know. Yeah. Now, do you play drums as well?
No.
Because your programming is excellent. Almost like, a lot of times when guys don't play drums and they program, they're doing shit that wouldn't be possible. You know what I mean?
I think it's just more like the producer side of me of work, you know, having a history of working with bands and being like, yo, drummer, let's skip that kick right there. Like, don't hit that kick on the end going into the top of the chorus,
so
you know, just stuff like that, you know.
Are you typically starting with drums, like when you're writing a song, like finding a good loop to build around?
Hardly ever, really. Yeah, hardly ever. Just usually starts with some sort of
melody
sample that's chopped up or like a chord progression, but yeah.
Well, damn, dude. All right, and I guess lastly, what is this? What is this guy here?
That's like a photo theremin.
Are you using that as well?
I used to use it, but I haven't really used it in this situation yet. But it's kind of this weird thing. You know,
it's actually super fun.
Yeah,
noisemaker, man. Yeah. You've got some really, really fun toys up here.
Yeah, Sean, try to have fun, man.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Obviously. I'm a huge fan, but I know we got VIP coming up. Thanks so much for watching, guys, taking the time to stick through all of this. Stay tuned for more Rig Rundowns, lessons, gear reviews, all that fun stuff. Till next time.
Awesome, man. That was a lot of fun.
I've had, if we counted them, probably 7 bad D'Addario strings in 30 years.
The reason we only stock D'Addario strings is because D'Addario strings are perfect.
It's nice to be able to depend on something.